Oh man, a good start. With Hank Mobley on tenor sax, Fenton Kelly on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Art Blakey on drums, with a nifty little number titled Dig Dis. That's right, Dig Dis. This is from Mobley's 1999 album, Soul Station. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yatrice Lead, and it's Free Your Mind Friday. Huh? Free Your Mind Friday. That's what I said. I know. At the end of the week, we hardly have a mind to free because we've been inundated with so many things, but there's a lot to talk about, and we want to hear you talk about it. So that's what the concept is. If you're just joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. And what is the purpose of Free Your Mind Friday? Well, the idea is to give you space to express your view about a subject or an issue that is particularly pronounced in your mind and about which you have a need to express an opinion. And so space is provided for you to do just that, to express your opinion. And hopefully it would attract a reaction from others listening. And we'll see if they react or they don't react. But it is important that you take advantage of the opportunity to publicly engage. Now, I have to tell you, there is a surreptitious intent here, and that is to help us all feel more and more comfortable about occupying public space. Hopefully you have a reason to do so, and this is about getting you accustomed to training yourself about how to be in the public arena. You express an opinion. How do you do that? How do you bolster the points that you're making? And how are you communicating to those of us listening to you? Are you getting better, hopefully, at being in the public eye? Why? Because you may never know when you may be put in a position of having to make a public presentation, having to express a public a view in public. And this is part, really, of your political training, if you will. You should be at home in any medium expressing yourself. This just happens to be radio. But the same goes for newspapers or magazines or anything like that. You should be adept at the whole business of communicating, because it's very important. And I dare say that this is one of the weak spots of the political left. We don't have a strong enough history, it seems to me, of being public with our views. You would tend to disagree, I'm sure, but you know, I'm talking about regular, ordinary people with ideas that may not be part of the thinking of the masses, let's say. But it's important for you to feel comfortable and confident in expressing your view, but also in communicating the rationale for your view. That is good political work. The number to call is 888-874-4888. Remember, as you start out, we want you to let us know what your subject is and start with your main points, okay? 888-874-4888. Duke from New Jersey, you start us off today.
Hi, Yatrice.
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to take a little deep breath because I'm a little nervous because I know I'm about to shake.
Huh? What could happen?
Yeah, well, I know, but I don't like to call people out in public, and I'm about to shake the bee's nest a little bit. So yesterday's conversation left me with a very bitter feeling in my mouth. I mean, I couldn't even sleep last night thinking about that conversation. Now,
well, please tell people what the conversation was. Don't just proceed. Let us know.
Yes, please. Let me get this off my chest, Retreat. So I'm going to go as fast as I can, and then I'll just hang up. Because I know
hold up for a second. I don't want you to just get on and say something and then go away. That's kind of cowardly.
Okay, well, I don't intend on doing that.
Explain to listeners what you're talking about and then make your point.
Okay, so yesterday you started the conversation off with this question. What do we understand reparations to be? And you had mentioned the example of a town in Illinois that were planning to give some reparations to its black community. And you were a little confused by the word. And the first person who called in yesterday was Henry from Chicago. And we all love Henry. He's very intelligent, and I always learn something when Henry calls. And one of the points that Henry made was, he said to you, Utrice, this is a very divisive issue in our community. And Henry started talking about the different groups, and he mentioned, where do I have it here? I forget the groups that he named. The ADOS was one of the groups, and he named another group. And these are different groups who have different opinions about what reparations should be. Okay. After Henry called, Ed called in, and we all love Ed. I love Ed. He always offers some intelligent information to the conversation. And Ed started explaining what this ADOS is about. Now, I haven't been following the reparations issue so much. When I realized that John Conyers wasn't going to be able to kick that ball down the field, I kind of just got discouraged. But Ed was saying that ADOS, American Descendants of Slaves, okay, and that these are the people who should qualify for whatever type of reparations comes out of these discussions, either from the federal government, from the institutions of America, or from the citizenry of America. Okay. And so I was kind of perplexed by that acronym, American Descendants of Slaves. Okay. And the reason why I was kind of confused is because I can remember long, long ago when I was researching Dr. Du Bois, and I was always hearing that he came from a free family. He came from free people. I used to think, what did that mean exactly? He came from free people. Okay. So I called in, and I gave an example of, what about somebody who immigrated here from another place in the early 20th century, let's say 1910, 1920, right, after emancipation? So that original immigrant was not a person who was enslaved in America, but his descendants, he or she, their descendants lived through the effects of slavery. They lived through Reconstruction. They lived through Jim Crow. They lived through the lynchings, the killing. Listen, when that Klansman in the South hung a brother from a tree, he didn't ask you, was your ancestor and ADOS? You were black. Okay. So I tried to make my point, and then you allowed Ed to call back and give a rebuttal. And that really, and after Ed, another person, I think Patricia called, and she agreed with Ed, and you agreed with Patricia. So it really left me feeling like, whoa, 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 this is not right. So I did a little research last night, and I'm thinking about this. Okay, American descendants of slaves, okay. I thought, okay, maybe they have a point about the person who immigrated to America. Maybe. I don't agree with them, but maybe they have a point. But as I'm thinking about it, I kept thinking about Du Bois and this concept of free Africans, free people. So when I was doing my research last night, I came across the 1860 federal census. Now, we know emancipation was in 62. And according to that census, in 1860, there was about 4 million enslaved Africans, right? These are people that we know were probably on some plantation somewhere with chains on them and everything that we think of as slavery, chattel slavery. But what most people don't know is at the same time, there was about 500,000 free black people in this country, in North America. 500,000 free black people. Now, the assumption is that of those 500,000 people, they had to be slaves and somehow got their freedom. And for the majority of those 500,000 people, that would be true. But some of those people, and it would be a small number, let's say it was one-fifth. Well, one-fifth of 500,000 would be 100,000 people. Those people were never slaves. In 1860, those people were Africans who were descendants of Africans who first came here with the Spanish, who colonized Florida way before 1860. And some of those Africans would have been descendants of the French who came here before the Spaniards, way before 1860. So my point is, there has always been free black people in America. And today, in 2021, their descendants are here. That means there is a legacy of black people in our community who have no ancestor who was in chattel slavery. From the very beginning, before the British came here, before Plymouth Rock, before Virginia, there were black free people here. And they somehow were able to escape being enslaved. I want to be clear about that. So let's take off the immigrant. Let's take that out of the conversation.
All right. Summarize, please.
Okay. Descendants of those free people live through the legacy of slavery. They lived through Reconstruction, Jim Crow, civil rights fights, redlining, killings, you name it. And if I listen to somebody like Ed, you're telling me that those people should not qualify for reparations? That is ludicrous. The point of reparations has nothing to do with who was physically in chains. This is not, you can't equate this with what happened to the Japanese with the internment camps. There's no comparison. Reparations in America is about addressing the wrong that happened to people of black skin in this nation from day one. It has nothing to do with chattel slavery. And you treat, right. I'm telling you, if you take this to a vote in our community, that ADOS thing would be voted down without
I'm
question.
Okay. Would you consider yourself as having pretty much expressed your view?
Yes, I got it off my chest, and I know Ed is listening, and I want to say, look, I love Ed. You know, this is not
something personal towards Ed. It doesn't matter whether you love him or you don't love him. The fact is you have a point of view.
Okay. But
we have Ed calling in, so maybe this is a good time to put you two together and see how.
Okay, but Nutrice, here's my bottom line. That whole concept, and I think Henry was alluding to this also.
We're not going to go there.
But we have to go there because you got to put it on the table.
The point I'm making is this. You have a point of view? Fine. Somebody has a different point of view? Fine. Why do you have to insist that your point of view should be the point of view?
Because I don't see how you...
No, don't speak over me now.
I'm sorry. I'm listening.
Okay. The idea is that perhaps you are missing an opportunity to learn something.
Exactly. And I was going to say, I hope I can learn. Maybe I'm misunderstanding.
But you can't learn if you're talking.
I know, but I want to clearly get out.
Hold on for a second. It's simply a difference of opinion because there are many other dimensions that you haven't mentioned that might be relevant in the discussion, not just your point of view, but others as well.
I agree. We don't have the time to do that. I just need to be very clear.
Excuse me, please, for speaking while you're interrupting. It is not about you and what you think. It is about being brave enough to engage with anyone who doesn't share your view, who might be having different points of view. That's the issue. And I would like, if you permit, because I see Ed is calling in, I just had an idea. Why not put you and Ed on together and hash it out and see what comes of your position and what comes of his? Are you amenable?
That'd be great. But just listen, I'm not interrupting you,
but the communication
with the phone is not perfect. That's all.
Nothing is perfect. We could live with it.
Okay. I don't mean to interrupt at all.
Okay. Ed, are you there?
Hello, Yatrice. How you doing?
Hello, Ed. Fortuitously, Duke is calling in and raising a question pertaining to what you raised yesterday with regard to the American descendants of slaves and the issue of reparations. And I thought, hey, you're both on the line. Why not? Let's hear from both of you. Were you able to listen to him?
I heard him. This brings me back to the glory days of WBAI. Hello, Duke. how are you? There's no offense intended. Steel sharpens steel, if you're familiar with that term. Iron sharpens iron. I respect your opinion, but here's the reasons behind why I've developed mine over the years of research. As I stated yesterday, I've been involved in the ADOS movement, the American Descendants of Slaves, since 2015. The founders of the movement, which we're trying to turn into an institution, are Yvette Carnell and Antonio Moore. Yvette Carnell is a political activist. She's been involved in political activity for over 20 years. Antonio Moore is a legal scholar and a lawyer, and he's been involved in several out in L.A. and several civil rights and hip hop cases. The premise behind ADOS is simple. In America, there was a specific effort by the government, by social institutions, and by economic systems to ostracize and leave out a specific group of people. That specific group of people are the American descendants of slaves. That specific group of people were slaves. If you read any books by Frederick Douglass, where he talks about the Negro problem after the Civil War and reparations and Reconstruction, where they talk about the displaced Negro from the farm, the society, with government help, has instituted specific programs: redlining, school segregation, prison industrial complex, vagrancy laws, Jim Crow laws. These were projects and institutions that were instituted by the government through the will of the people, a minority of the people, against a specific group. And the group is ADOS. When you want to make a claim on the world court, when you want to make a claim against the government for reparations, which is payment for wrongs done, you must be specific. You must have a specific group. You must have a quantifiable value, and you must have a plan to institute these reparations. Our claim is this: the United States government, over the course of 400 years, singled out a group of individuals that they used to help build this country. And when slavery was over, they continued to single out those individuals based on the concept of race and based on the concept that they were slaves at the time in this period of this country. I know the people that you're speaking about. That group of freed Africans before 1860, they're primarily in Nova Scotia. They fled from America because Britain abolished slavery way before America did and didn't allow slaves to be sailed in. That's why 1618 is such an important date. Those people primarily went to Canada, and they lived free in Nova Scotia. There's a colony over there. It's a small segment of the population. The majority of African Americans in this country that can trace their lineage back that far were descendants of slaves. It's not anything to be embarrassed about. It's a proud lineage. You have Harriet Tubman. You have Nat Turner. You have Frederick Douglass. All of these people, even though Frederick Douglass was a freed man, his people were slaves. So the term ADOS gives us a quantifiable group, just like American Indians, just like the Arawak people, just like the Maori people that are trying to get their reparations in Australia. We're a discernible group. And I don't bear any homage to anybody else who wants to put in the claim. But all I'm saying is that this is my group. This is my claim based on my history. Don't knock me for trying to get mine. I'll help you get yours. We can deal with allies, but we can't be animosity about it. This is a clear, quantifiable nomenclature, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, what do you say? Duke, what do you say?
Yeah, may I speak now?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't want to speak because I don't want to be, saying interrupted. But as Ed is talking, I'm just shaking my head in disappointment because everything that he's saying, I agree with the exception of this acronym. In other words, he just said he knows that there were free people at that time, and those people predominantly went to Nova Scotia. That's not true. The descendants of those people are amongst us right now. They're in our community here in North America. You can't make that proof to say that I just told you from the federal census in 1860 there was 500,000 free people in the United States. If 100,000 of those people were never enslaved, you're going to tell me all of their descendants went to Nova Scotia? That's ridiculous. You are falling into the typical trap of this divide and conquer. I am, okay, I'm talking about me now, Duke in New Jersey. I know on my father's line, I know I can trace my lineage back to an enslaved person. On my mother's line, I'm not so sure. But to me, it's irrelevant because the experience of black people, the thing that we want reparations for, happened to both of the, all of the ancestors on both of my sides, regardless if they were enchained or not. I don't think Ed is getting this point. You're dividing your own people, saying that we are somehow the true black people because we can prove that we were enchained.
All right. I feel a need here to remind all participants we're not at war. We have
a discussion. I know we're not at war, Eutrice, but this is,
Wait a minute. There's no but and there's no explanation. The fact is, we treat each other with maximum respect, nothing less. So don't assign characteristics to somebody and don't demean somebody because you disagree. That's not going to happen here. And by the way, we have somebody who will be joining us now. This would make it three people. Henry from Chicago, who called in yesterday as well, is calling in now. And I asked the engineer whether we can splice him in, because it would be great to hear a different point of view as well. But understand this. We're just having a discussion. We don't have to, you know, unsheathe the blades yet.
Yeah, Eutrice, if I raise my voice in any way, I'm sorry. And I don't mean to be disrespectful to anyone,
I don't know Ed,
but I can say this. I love him like a brother because I learn so much from listening to him every day. So if I raise my voice, I'm very sorry.
No. I'm not talking about raising your voice alone. I'm talking also about the tenor of how you are presenting what you are presenting. I understand it's, for you, a passionate subject. It clearly is for Ed. And Henry, welcome, if you are joining us in this. Are you going to be on edge as well?
Greetings, Eutrice. And greetings, I guess, to the brothers that are on the line as well. I wasn't expecting
Duke
to be.
Ed.
Okay, Duke and Ed. Yes, I know them very well, and they both speak. They both speak very intelligently, and I think highly of them as some of the callers that come in. I wasn't expecting to be on this panel, but
I,
you know what?
I did want to. It's not a panel. This thing happened quite spontaneously. And okay. I sent the notes to the engineer, and I said, is it possible we could patch this one in? And then you show up and said, patch him in too. So we can have an opportunity to hear the subject as interpreted and presented by three different men. That's incredible.
So Eutrice, as I said yesterday, this conversation of reparations has been very contentious, especially, you know, within our group of people within the black community. And obviously, you know, even though, you know, both have, you know, both Duke and Ed have respectively dialogued, you know, it's still kind of like a debate going on between, you know, reparations. But, you know, my thing is this, and, you know, I do agree with the point of having an identity in regards to, you know, people, black people who are descendants of slaves and people who have the American experience, particularly what they call ADOS. I am considered what they call ADOS. But, you know, I think the most important part of this is, and this is where I kind of look side-eyed with the ADOS, is that the whole conversation is about just reparations and not about an identity that needs to be forged. I said this yesterday. one of the problems that we have as black people is a lack of identity. We don't have an identity that we can fall on. And we always accept these other identities that we have, you know, Democrat, Republican, Christian, Islam, Pan-Africanist, conservative, whatever. But yet we don't have an identity, and that's why we take these other identities that are sometimes and most of the time given to us. Because as much as I believe that we are owed reparations, and don't get me wrong on this, we are owed reparations. If they give us reparations, this is still not going to eliminate racism. We will still be subjugated under white supremacy. We will still be subjugated under racism. So let's not make any mistake about this. But I think the important part of this is forging an identity. I do agree that black Americans here, especially black Americans who are, you know, are descendants of slaves, or black Americans who, you know, as Duke said, are from a lineage of free black Americans. But just the American experience alone should just forge an identity, because other people in the diaspora, when you look at, you know, Africans on the continent, there's over 1,000 ethnicities there, and they're proud of that. There's ethnicities in the Caribbean. There's ethnicities in South America. And I think there is a necessity for us as black Americans to have that identity. And I think that's the most important thing about it. I think reparations, to me, is a secondhand reason for it. But there is a reason why we should fight for this, because we lack identity here, and we need that.
Duke, does any of this make sense to you?
Now, it all makes sense, Utrice. I'm going to talk as low as I can, because I don't want you to think my presentation is...
No, please be assured, I don't think that.
Okay. It all makes sense to me, Utrice.
And to be calm, yes.
Okay. It all makes sense to me, and what Ed is saying also makes sense to me. I do understand from a legal perspective... Can I speak?
One second.
I have heard of Antonio Moore before, and I do understand the concept of, from a legal perspective, in a courtroom, you would have to be able to identify. Okay, I understand all of that. But reparations for black Americans, it's bigger than the courtroom. It's bigger than a legal case. And I'm almost shaking my head that we're having this conversation. I can remember one time hearing Dr. Clark say he loved and agreed with Malcolm so much, but when Malcolm started talking about not eating that pork, he said he had to turn and run. And I just can't believe we're having this conversation, because ultimately the conversation comes down to this. With Ed, or I don't want to say Ed specifically, what the ADS people are suggesting is that we have no legal hand in a courtroom if we don't identify as ADOS. And technically speaking, that could be correct. But I'm not interested in taking this issue to the world court. It's bigger than the world court. Like I'm saying, this is bigger than Japanese internment.
Listen, it has nothing to do with the world court. It has something to do with the American court. You have to have a group to present a case for reparations. It gives your case latitude and weight, just like the Jewish people have a group, just like the Japanese Americans have a group.
We don't need any kind of...
We have a group, we have an identity.
Hold on, Duke, for a minute. Ed, finish your point.
It isn't about color. It's about a quantifiable claim by an aggrieved people. I understand. Listen, I ain't got no animosity to you, brother. I've been at this for a long time. I've been marching. I've been doing things for a long time. I have the bona fides, and I understand your point, and I have gone eye for eye with people with this point for a long time, because in the beginning I shared your view until I realized and educated myself on what it would take to get a viable program for reparations started in this country. And we have to have a solid legal basis. We play in this game. They change the rules all the time, but we still have to play in the game. And the game is, we're American. In my game, I qualify as an American descendant of slaves. I can follow it on my mother's side. I can follow it on my father's side. And that gives me a right to claim recompense from this government. I'm not knocking anybody else's claim. I'm not stopping anybody else from doing it. If you immigrated here, if you were a freed black man here, if you suffered from racism and you suffered from institutionalized racism, which is another subject and another problem that must be handled entirely differently, I'm speaking specifically reparations. I'm speaking specifically monies and prestige and repair owed for damage done. We can quantify it. James Piccaninny has an all economic program defining what reparations can look like. And COBRA has one. ADOS has one. We have an 11-point program. These are concrete facts that I can hold up in a court of law and say, look, this is what I'm dealing with. There can be no dispersion. There can be no disillusion. There can be no deception. When you start to get into color, when you start to get into to quote unquote the concept of race and try to use that, they flip it on you. We need to come concrete. Once we get that foothold, then we can talk about unity and holding hands. But right now, I want my 40 acres and I want my mule. It's been too long.
Henry, are you still there?
Yeah. I'm still here.
Okay. Where are you leaning in this conversation?
Well, you know, I Duke is, I think Duke, when he mentioned about the legality of it, I think that's, you know, that's where sometimes the confusion lies, because, and I'm glad he's starting to understand the legality of it, because, you know, I've talked to the representatives here from in COBRA, and I've also talked to the ADOS people here, which is actually interesting, because yesterday, the president of the ADOS Chicago had mentioned that they don't associate with Antonio Moore and Yvette Carnell anymore, even though they still support the claims of American descendants of slaves. And it was much of a, you know, much of a personal thing. I won't go too far into. But the thing is that I like I said before, the one thing I have with the ADOS is their number one reason for this is reparations. And I think we get too much into this capitalist mindset of, you know, cut me my check and leave me alone. And this is what we argue about all the time, about capitalism. And we are not going to liberate ourselves through capitalism. Yeah, I'm sorry, because of the fact that, you know, the white people in this country have all of the capital. And even if they give us all $1 million, what they're going to do? They're going to move the needle. So I still feel the most important thing that ADOS needs to do is focus on an identity. And also, too, that should be your number one reason. Because if we do get reparations, what are we going to do? We're going to go back to our own corners of the world? Are people going to still be claiming ADOS? That's my concern, and that's my problem with it. Other than that, I do agree that reparations needs to be paid to us, and I do agree if it's on the basis of slavery, then yes, the descendants of slaves need to have those reparations. But if it's on the basis of harm, as what NCOBRA has put forward, then yes, all black people or all non-white people should get reparations. I have no problem with that either.
So we have landed, Duke, this is your fault. You brought this up. You put us here. How do we get out of this discussion today? What do you think is the next best discussion to have? following this.
Utrice, can I speak?
Sure.
I think Henry just made a very good point that the issue of reparations in America, it can't be framed in a capitalistic way. It's not about cutting me my check or getting some money because I'm a direct descendant of a person who came on a ship. The issue... Can I speak?
Yes, I'm listening. We're listening to you.
The issue, the grievance that the black community, I'll say it that way, the black community, the grievance of the black community in America is far beyond a courtroom. Like, there is no monetary amount that they could ever pay that will rectify the damage that was done to the black community. And who's in the black community today? It's a mixture of all kinds of non-white people. Again, I'm going to make this very clear point. In our black community, there are people who were as dark-skinned as my father, who have no lineage of chattel slavery. This is not, I don't even see reparations as a legal issue. It's beyond that. It's a moral thing. So, you know, I'm going to just get off the line because I'm upset, I'm disappointed, and I just want to say this. I agree with everything that Ed says. You know, I've been in this struggle for a long time. I'm 60 years old. I come from the streets of Harlem. And I've done my study. I'm not ignorant to the needs and the problems in our community, okay? I know what's going on. I'm not some naive person. I know that I am an ADOS person. But I would never, ever support what Ed is saying if it's limited to this acronym of ADOS. Never, ever. And I'm sure if you took a vote in the black community, 80% would be with me. And I'll leave it at that. And I hope he really reconsiders that whole ADOS concept. You know, I know, I understand the legal thing and in the court and all of that stuff. Reparations for the black community is beyond the courts. It's beyond a dollar number.
It can't be beyond the courts, brother. It can't be beyond the dollar. You've got to have a starting point.
You're wrong. I'm sorry.
Holding hands and coming over the rainbow. We've got to have
you're
a starting
wrong,
point.
Brother. I got to get off the line because I'm getting upset.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, and y'all all have a good weekend. I love all of y'all.
Thank you. You too. Continue, Ed. Continue.
You have to have a starting point. You have to have a definable point to where to begin to institute the reparative means necessary to make recompense for this damage. There have been entire immigrant groups that have come to this country that have been allowed to be made whole. They've come, they started at the bottom, the Italians to the Irish to the Chinese to even recent immigrants from the 1950s and 60s. And they've had the opportunity to access this system and be made whole and have a social identity and have a political force. And there were systematic institutions that prevented us from doing that. After Reconstruction, the Klan. During Reconstruction, the Klan, the new Klan. Redlining, the school segregation from Plessy versus Ferguson to Dred Scott decision. All of these things were entities of a physical government. And if I can't bring a rainbow coalition to a physical government. I've got to have a specific claim, and I've got to have a place to start. Everything else can come after, but we've got to have it. You can't build a skyscraper without a foundation. And what the Duke is talking about is beautiful and it's lovely, but it ain't no foundation. Color is color.
Well, thank you, Ed. You expressed yourself, as did Duke, with great passion today. And this is not the first conversation we'll have like this, but it was quite a startling presentation so far, I think. And we got the best out of everyone. Thank you so much, Ed. And Henry, thank you too. This is bizarre how this worked out. Three people calling in separate from each other, unknown to each other. And this little light went off in my head saying, hey, we're missing an opportunity for a cross-talk, cross-dialogue. And I thought we came out of it pretty well. What do you think, Henry?
No, I mean, I think we did. We all still disagree. I'm hoping Duke is not very upset, but this is the dialogue that we need to have. And, you know, yesterday when we were speaking to the person from the ADOS crowd, you know, he was telling me about how the people from Encobra don't want to talk to him. So me and a group of other people, we're trying to get them together to talk because that's what needs to happen. They need to talk.
No, it's like you're not entirely correct with that. Just got to raise a point. New York and Cobra and ADOS have spoken. I've been to meetings. There's some discrepancy. It has to do with pride, and it has a lot to do with people trying to stake their claim to certain things. It's personality conflicts. I mean, the premise that both my organization, which I'm a part of, ADOS, and in Cobra, are the same. The goal is the same, but there was some personality conflicts initially, and that's being rectified. But like, it's like with anything, people stake their claims and they feel threatened when someone else comes along with a different or a fresher perspective, and they don't want to be discounted for their years of service. That was the main bone of contention there.
Well, from the Chicago region, they're not talking. So that I'm just giving it from.
I can't speak for Chicago.
I'm speaking for Chicago.
So I want to thank you all from Queens, from New Jersey, from Chicago, all accidentally meeting up today on Lead Stories, and it's perfect. And don't be discouraged, those of you listening, that well, it seems that they're not on the same page. They're not on the same page, necessarily. They don't have to be. But they should continue to talk. And we should be listening to decide who's making sense and who's not quite making sense. This is great, great radio. Thank you very much. And we will open up the lines now, generally, to 888-874-4888 for those of you who still have something to free your mind of. Thanks, guys. All right. Like I said, we have time and we can talk to Gene from Maryland. You're on the air.
Thank you, Utrice. The barn is thoroughly alight.
So why do you feel so hot in here?
If you'll allow me, I'd like to give 9/10 award points to Duke for his presentation. I thought that was phenomenal. I don't agree with him, but I think his presentation and his thoughts and the way that he put it together and his research was phenomenal, and I thank him for it. He doesn't get that last tenth because the premise was wrong. The reparations that are currently under discussion around the issues in Evanston, Illinois, are very narrow, and they have to do with a redlining issue that affects 16 families, and that is the extent of it. Now, what the whole discussion seemed to focus on is this larger question of reparations and what is due and to whom. And this particular case out of Evanston, Illinois, does not deal with any of that. And so the whole idea that there were three points of view from Duke, Henry, and Ed did not deal with the fact that this particular case is very narrow in scope and very narrow in focus and does not address slavery, descendants of slaves, or anything along those lines which the larger question of reparations deals with. So
we talked about that yesterday. Yes.
Yes. So I just want to be careful so that we can understand where the focus of that case is versus the focus of the discussion that's happening on Lead Stories. Now, I think Ed is on the right track when he talks about needing a place to start. And one of the things that comes to mind for me are two things. Number one, chattel slavery is outlined in the Constitution. And chattel slaves were outlined as property. And so this becomes a property discussion, or a discussion of property rights. The second issue along those lines is the Dred Scott decision. And Dred Scott is what began to define people as property and under what conditions. And so if we were to take the discussion that the three were just having and view it along those lines, I think the needle starts to point towards Ed. So I'll pause for a moment.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I have room for one more caller. We'll take that call now. Thank you so much for contributing today. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, I was listening. I was trying to get in early. I wasn't able to do it. In a large measure, I agree with what Ed's organization is doing. And this is giving a good foundation for, let's say, the legal structure for going after the perpetrators or the people who are involved in this system that we live in. In terms of reparations, that could be a good foundation. It would not exclude those people who could not identify their slave ancestors. It would include all those people who suffered under the system of white supremacy that this nation was founded on. So that would cover a lot of people, those people who could find the evidence that their ancestors were enslaved, like me. I can find, I've done it and paid for the research to find the people who were involved in the enslavement of my family. I've done that. But the point is that the thing that we have to keep in mind as a starting point, like Ed's starting point, there's nothing wrong with it. It's good. And it will eventually go somewhere else, too, because as far as I'm concerned, all the European powers that were involved in the slave trade and the exploitation of Africans during that period should be paying reparations. We're talking about the British and the French and the rest of them. So that's the way I look at it. This would be a good start, and it should be a lot of it based on the fact that not only chattel slavery, but a whole system of white supremacy, racism, of people of a darker phenotype should be considered in the reparations that will come forward after we fight this battle.
Thank you. Thanks so much. And that brings us to the end of our program today. Quite an exciting program from a listening point of view, because we got such a range of thought, people very much interested in the subject and have been invested in it for quite some time. I like that this radio station and this program, we make space available for discussions like this, and without fear, without hesitancy. This is important because this is part of the work that we do, certainly part of the work I've been doing for a long time. And so even if it sounds like people are disagreeing, and maybe they are, the point I always listen to is they're talking and they're telling stories from their particular vantage point. And it's the first time. This is totally accidental that they met up online today. And that was because I said, hey, people are calling in. Let's put them together and see what we get. And the engineer was very kind to arrange that. So this is the weekend. Surround yourselves with people who bring positive dimension to your life. Relax a little bit. Take it easy. And get in gear for the next week to come. Thanks so much, everyone. Bye-bye.